Joining me now in the studio, Andy Griskowiak, superintendent of Sayuslaw Schools. And it's been a few months since we've discussed things. So coming up in a little less than 2 weeks, we got graduation coming up. And have you guys sort of decided how graduation's going to look this year? Is it going to be similar to last year's?
Similar to last year, but with a bigger crowd potential for families. Again, looking at guidance, what we know we can get done is an outdoor ceremony at the stadium, and for students that are graduating, walking at commencement, parents, step-parents, siblings, grandparents.
Oh.
Right. So we can get that data from the students about who's coming for in their immediate family and get that gridded out and just kind of play a little hopscotch in the stands and have 6 feet between family groups, and we'll be safe and be able to accommodate immediate family. And then everything else will be broadcast on YouTube Live on the district channel, and people that can't make it in general community will be able to watch the ceremony live.
Now, with if we were to drop to a lower level by then, would the new regulations that the governor came out with regarding events and things change anything? Or are you pretty much going to say, this is how we're going to keep it?
It depends when those hit. If we have enough time to modify and get things prepared, then yes. But if it happens like the day of, the plan we have in place is the plan we have in place, and we just can't take a flood of people because we'll be set up for students and families and staff working the event. But if we have a couple of days lead time and we can rework and bring in additional, you know, facilities to accommodate, great. But again, if it's a day of, if we get a noontime decision from the governor and the ceremony is at 7 o'clock, the plan on paper is the plan on paper. There's not going to be a lot of time to reorganize everything in a few hours.
Now, last year it was a little bit different too, in that because when we stopped school, some of the seniors that were getting ready to graduate had pretty much received the credits they needed to graduate, and there was some leniency given to that. Is that, did that follow through to this year, or is it a totally different situation this year?
No, we're as close to back to normal as possible with students being on campus 4 days a week. We do have a lot of seniors involved in distance learning, but they're being graded and completing credits basically like the previous school year, not last year, but the last full complete school year. So they're working on getting those things tied up. And again, we've had some kids that had enough credits, they sealed up their transcripts early, they're going to come back and they're going to walk in commencement during that time. Yes.
Now, what has happened over the last, what have we learned over the last year about distance learning versus in-school learning? Has the school figured out a way to be successful with the students and their learning abilities through the distance learning?
So that's a complicated question with a not so simple answer. Keeping the distance learning students kind of, we'd originally talked about trying to do like a simultaneous, especially at the high school level, trying to do a live class with distance students watching. That's just too much to do and too much to manage, because once the teacher becomes occupied with addressing an issue in the class, distance students are, you know, kind of ignored because they're on the computer.
And they kind of turn off, I mean, mentally or...
Right. And so, again, so the high school is really running a parallel schedule. And so they have their live students in the morning, and then they come back and they do a duplicate schedule in the afternoon. So they're pulling a double workload to address distance learning individually in the afternoon with smaller groups. We know that distance learning simply takes more time, because when you lose that face-to-face, person-to-person connection, again, just being in a room with somebody and being able to engage with them and talk with them, there's a lot of nuance you lose over the computer.
Like a teacher can see the whole room, and with peripheral vision and with the eyes in the back of the head thing, can kind of sense what's going on in the room, which is a little bit different, I guess.
Right. And again, you'll have some kids that have really thrived in this distance piece, but again, some kids do struggle with the distance portion because, again, not being able to communicate rapidly back and forth with the teacher is difficult because the communication is always check one, check one, check two, because it's back and forth. That's just the technology. And so instead of being able to kind of rapid fire questions and discussion, it winds up becoming truncated, and it's real split. And that's where I think some kids suffer, is that they can't talk necessarily with a teacher rapidly back and forth, and they can't talk with their classmates to resolve, you know, learning questions and issues right then and there. And they wind up kind of getting, again, it just takes more time, because you can complete all those discussions. It just takes more time to do it. And so that's why, you know, the high school teachers are running their parallel schedule in the afternoon, so they can address those like 10 kids in the one class, as opposed to having 15 or 20 in the morning and then 10 in distance. Because it takes as much time to do a class with 10 students in distance as it does, you know, 15 or 20 live in the classroom.
And I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in school, but I always seem to remember that learning was more of a collective thing in a group of students.
Right.
I mean, the teacher was the band leader, so to speak. The teacher kind of led the way, but a lot of learning happened amongst students.
Correct.
And their interactions.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And you lose that in a distant setting because, again, sometimes the best explanation to a problem you get is from somebody that is also learning it. They're not necessarily teaching it, but as they talk their way through it to somebody else.
The bell rings.
The bell rings, right? Yeah. It rings for them and it rings for somebody else.
Yeah.
And what you usually see in classrooms is three or four kids maybe talking about a problem. The teacher goes, how are you explaining what's going on? And they go, I didn't get it, but I think it means this. And the teacher goes, you are correct. Or this is the path you're on, and this is how it finishes. And again, it's tough to do that in a distance setting. Because again, you can't necessarily have those kind of like immediate collaborative like breakout groups.
Hmm.
Unless you can somehow pre-plan to have everybody scheduled to go out in their own little side Zoom room, it just doesn't happen.
How has this affected year over year success rates with the students? I mean, is there a little dip of in the grading because of this last year, or are they kind of staying close?
It's close. It's a little hard to judge because we do have some students that are in a completely asynchronous format. They're working on, you know, on Acellus, which is a pre-programmed computerized learning platform. And so with 60 students in there, you have to go back and pull their transcripts individually and find out what credits they have. But there's been about a 3% total shift between past courses for students on site from last year first semester to first semester this year. Now, last year, when you look at second semester, because again, Department of Ed said seal things up early and err on the side of caution, because again, a kid that has been
performing
is probably performing, but because of all these other things, a passing mark is probably better. Passing marks were a bit higher last year, second semester, than typically. But when you compare first semester 1920 to first semester 2021, this year's passing marks are about 3% lower than the previous year.
And so the expectations are a little bit more stringent, or is it just the way kids are learning?
I think it's the way kids are learning, and it's that loss of connection with students, with teachers. Again, being able to have that continuous thread all the way through a day and then day to day to day. And so, again, having that follow-up immediately, you know, before class, after class, the next day is tough to do, especially when we had the first two-thirds of the year in nothing but distance.
What's really interesting, and I don't know how this would correlate to what's happening there, but I remember in the early 70s in junior high, we were one of the first schools that did the packets, and it was on your own pace.
Right.
We basically had the teacher in the room to answer questions, but we were responsible to do that. And it worked really well, but I don't know. Is that something that has progressed over the years to do? I know a lot of like private schools are doing that now, but it's something that has not been real popular in the public schools.
Well, again, it's not I don't think it's real popular in public, because again, that's the Packet is kind of the online learning platform of today, is that work at your own pace, check in, ask questions when you need it. But if you're not checking in and you need a teacher there sometimes to chase you, to make sure that you're on task, and then, and again, we have this, again, kids, we're chasing them, checking them down.
Right.
And then they get to a crunch, and then they go into a work blitz, and then they get all caught up.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's real easy to say, I'll work on that tomorrow, I'll do that tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get to halfway through the semester, and they go,
oops.
Oh, I've done 15% of my English 1 second semester. I better get hustling. Yeah. And then over the course of like 2 days, they bust through almost the entire online class.
Which shows that they could do it if they
Right. And again, that's that piece of kind of pacing and responsibility that a lot of teenagers just need the nudge, they need the push. And if they're home alone and mom and dad are working and they see a teacher on the screen half hour every day, it's again real easy to just say, well, I'll work on that tomorrow.
Yeah, and I remember we didn't have Xbox and Atari, and we didn't have Facebook, right, you know, back in the 70s. So it was a little bit more, well, I got nothing else to do, I might as well do my schoolwork.
Right. And again, now it's, I got everything else to do, I'll get to my schoolwork later sometimes. Again, it's some kids thrive in this and they do really well. But I would say if you have any part of the procrastination gene, and you're doing distance classes,
it's magnified.
The procrastination gene will come out, and it'll be amplified right off the bat.
I've got the procrastination gene. At least now in my later years, I do. But
I used to call that, crisis under pressure. You know, again, wait till the last minute and then turn out something great. Well, that was just, I waited till the last minute, and then I had better hurry up and get something done. Well,
yeah. But there are some people that can do that, though. There are some people that can do it all in, you know, a 3-day, 4-day period and be fine with it. And then there's others that on that day 4, the last day, they're like, oh, my goodness, I'm never going to get it done.
Well, so again, not a strategy I recommend for anybody. No. Coming in at the buzzer, not a great strategy for schoolwork, taxes, you know, you name it, you know. It doesn't matter. Coming into the buzzer, not
preparation is a very good thing.
And again, pacing and planning has to be part of that. And again, doing that in distance is just tough to do because, you know, again, getting people connected and synced up online is hard to do.
Now, I asked you a little bit about this in our email conversation about what next year is going to look like. And you mentioned that the ODE, Oregon Department of Education, is not yet set the final works. And I can understand why, because we don't know where we're going to be. And Lane County seems to be a little slow in getting to that percentage rate that we need to be at. What do you foresee happening for the next year?
Well, again, just kind of looking at where things are progressing with, you know, the CDC and the health authority. Again, I anticipate that we'll be back on campus in a fairly regular schedule. And again, if someone is unvaccinated or has some other health condition, they probably will need to be in a mask. Again, that's just for their own health protection. And then again, with some of the new variants coming out, again, if somebody is ill, they'll need to be screened and then, picked up until we know they're clear.
And best case scenario?
Best case scenario.
Everything's back to fairly normal?
Everything's back to fairly normal. And the biggest challenge is managing lunch. Because that's where, again, you got a lot of people together. Everybody's got a mask off and, you know, they're eating and chatting and talking. And yeah.
I see the school buying a lot of paper bags this next year, maybe.
Probably, yeah. And again, it's a little more difficult at high school because they don't have a dedicated cafeteria. There's no kitchen. And so, getting an area at the high school that's kind of designated for that, it's going to be kind of a challenge in the summer, just to make sure that, again, we do have a spot where kids can have a little bit of distance, but still be close enough to each other to chat and visit and stuff and do the normal things kids would do at lunch. Yeah.
Lastly, any other changes coming up? Any new staff? Any have you got some things that are happening within the schools that are?
Well, yeah. We again, it's the end, getting towards the end of the school year, and so again, we're kind of in our hiring mode. We've got new staff coming on. We've got staff retiring, and some people making some life changes and going different directions, and so we're filling those positions as we come along. So again, next month we have a better kind of slate of where we are and getting everything filled across the board.
Well,
so,
let's see if we can get an update when that happens.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Andy Griskowiak, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Coming up next on the June edition of Our Town, Mike Miller, Public Works Director, talking about some construction projects happening this summer.